Amen. Yeah. Somewhere in there, 44 and 40 and 3, 48, 49, somewhere in there, 49, I got it right. He's better at sign language than I am at reading it, okay? Thank you. We're one person away, one person for 50. That's an excellent point, Randy, thank you. Was he in your class? Just before this gets completely out of hand, no. I want to thank you all. Dale made mention of our men's class, and we do have one now. And the guys are showing up faithfully, and I guess I put a little hook in that. There's donuts, fellas, okay? I'm really enjoying the privilege that's mine to share with these men. If we want to grow and be what we're supposed to in the Lord, we need to be in His Word. I mean, there's not much difference. You can't talk around that. I just wanted to say that to say thank you, and I think there was like 82 people here during the Sunday morning service last week. That means something to me as well. That goal for me is 100, so we're a little off of that, but we're getting there. Thank you so much for being here today. If you brought a Bible with you today, I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. First Corinthians chapter 11, the key verses for today are verses 23 through the end of the chapter. And I'm going to go ahead and read that for you now, and then we'll come back and take a look, closer look at some things. Paul says to the church at Corinth, beginning in verse 23, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner, he also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." I want to stop right there. Jesus brought his disciples into a room, and there he had what we call the Lord's Supper. He broke the bread, and he prayed over it, and he gave it to them, and he told them, "In no uncertain terms, this is a representation of my body, which will soon be broken for you." And we know that story. We know, many of us know the story, how Jesus lived and how he loved and how he served. And he taught his disciples and all those that would follow him that there would come a day when he would lay down his life for all those who would believe in him as Lord and Savior, that their forgiveness of their sins was available through his sacrifice, that his body would be broken on the cross, that the blood that was spilled there would be a New Testament, it would be a testament, and that he told his disciples in that room that night very clearly, "As long as I tarry to come back, you do this on a regular basis in remembrance of me." Now, I want to share with you a conviction that I have, and I've had it for a long time. And this is the reason that I'm sharing this passage of Scripture with you this morning. We were instructed clearly as believers to remember the Lord Jesus Christ through what we call the Lord's Supper. We've been clearly instructed to do that. There have been so many times in my life over the years that the Lord's Supper has been added at the end, almost like a period at the end of a sentence, with the sentence itself meaning far more than the period at the end. And I began to get convicted about this many years ago, and I believe with all my heart that the entire service, the message and everything related to it, ought to be about you and I remembering the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on our behalf. Did he not tell us to do that? Yes, he did. He told us to do that. It becomes both a solemn remembrance of an incredible price paid for our sin, but it also becomes a joyful remembrance, knowing that he loved us enough to give his life for us. This, my friends, is not only an act of obedience. This is a privilege. Yes, we call it an ordinance of the church, like baptism, and I get that. But it ought to mean more, shouldn't it? This remembrance ought to bring back to our mind a story that sometimes is so familiar with us that it seems to just go right by us. I have said for years, and I believe it because I lived it, we get gospel hardened. We've heard the story so much that the meaning has stopped being valuable. Sometimes we just go through the motions, do we not? Sometimes it's not like it ought to be. And Paul would have, you know, he's got the same issue here. The Corinthian church was valuable. They were growing. They were a great congregation, but they had loads and loads and loads of problems. Corinth was a very evil city. And when that church was formed in that city, and the gospel began to be preached, and people got saved, and the church began to grow, they didn't always know everything they needed to know about how church ought to be done. They didn't realize that how they were remembering the Lord was disgraceful. It was an affront to what should be taking place here. So in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul's going to address that. He's going to talk about how they took the Lord's Supper and how they abused the process. You know, the problem was of believers making a mockery of the supper because of the abuses that were practiced there at that feast, which was traditionally eaten before the Lord's Supper. And second of all, the necessity of taking the Lord's Supper seriously through rehearsing its institution as given by the Lord. What had happened was the years had gone by, and as the years went by, the celebration and the taking and the remembrance of the Lord's Supper had gotten so far out of hand that it didn't look anything at all like what Jesus had shared with them when he told his disciples in that room, "Do this in remembrance of me." How could the things that this church was doing be done and it be proper? And third of all, he gave those people a warning about partaking of the supper unworthily. So I want to start here and help us begin to understand this. Look back at verse 17, chapter 11. Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth from his heart. These words are hard to hear, but I want you to hear Paul's heart. He says, "Now in this I declare unto you," verse 17, "I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe that," Paul said. "For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place," you know, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, "for in eating everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken." Paul basically condemns the conduct of the believers there at the meal as harmful and degrading to the communion. Their actions in gathering are not for the better, but they are for the worse. And Paul is not pleased at all with them. I find it very interesting. Today, if you and I speak the truth, if we teach the truth, if we live the truth, if we example the truth, there's going to be people who just don't like us. I mean, that's just the way it is. If you speak the truth and you live the truth and you insist that the truth be practiced, you will most likely make some enemies in the process. Paul is warning the church to understand, although you are a church, what you're doing is not acceptable because you have turned this agape feast into a joke. And he began to express to them what he meant by that. Their behavior exposed their divisions. And Paul called them out on it. Even though he didn't believe that everything he had heard was true, he realized that there were heresies there. He realized there that there was class distinction there between the rich and the poor, that there was a level of selfishness and a level of inconsideration, and it was very obvious. He tells them clearly in verse 20 that what they're doing, and especially how they're doing it, is not how it's supposed to be done. Now, this seems foreign to you and I. It seems foreign to you. None of you brought this juice and bread in that we're going to take this morning. So we can't relate to the idea that some people brought food and some didn't have any. We can't relate to it like that. Their attitudes and their actions and their thinking was nullifying the spiritual meaning of the communion. And that's the point that got to me when I began to think about how this ought to be done. It seems to me, church, and you all help me here if I'm wrong, the spiritual meaning of the Lord's Supper is so powerful that we dare not take it lightly. The message of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for my sins and your sins is a message that we best not take lightly. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ was the only sacrifice that would ever be given for the forgiveness of our sins. And if Jesus thought it was important enough to tell his disciples, when you do this in remembrance of me. Now you tell me how it would be possible to have division and to have attitude and to be selfish and to have food for yourself but not for anybody else, how you would even come to that process and leave somebody hungry because it was a feast before the Lord's Supper was observed, and even to the point where in the process you would get drunk. You tell me how that's a remembrance of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's not. It could not be at all. So Paul takes issue with them. He addresses the abuses in the very way that they partook of the meal. What was actually happening? Well, the rich brought food, a lot, and the poor brought little or no food because they had little or no food. There were cliques that were established there. The food was not divided equally to them so that all would have something to eat. The rich were becoming gluttons with that food. The poor were remaining hungry, and some of them even became drunk. And Paul says, you are bringing contempt on the house of God, and you are humiliating the poor with the process. Now, it was a selfish, shameful display, and Paul was not going to have it. He couldn't handle it at all. Paul cannot commend their actions because they do not agree with the spirit of the Lord's Supper as he had received it and had passed it on to them. It was designed to be a solemn remembrance of what Jesus had done for them, in both in his life and in his death. Now, listen. Well, Brother Kenny, why is this thing so negative? If this is so great an opportunity for you and I, why are you being so negative? I'm not being negative. I'm speaking the truth to you as it came from the Word of God about how Paul talked about it in the church at Corinth. I don't see that spirit in Lena Vista Baptist Church. I don't see that negative spirit here. I see a warm, loving, and forgiving spirit here, and I thank you for that, and it is a privilege to share with you and to lead you as your pastor here. At the same time, we must guard against anything that would resemble anything that Paul was dealing with here in this church. Paul rehearses for them from the original event by giving and establishing when it took place, verse 23. He says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. Paul said, I am giving you what the Lord gave me. I am sharing with you what I have experienced. I'm sending it on down the line. And he goes to tell them that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. That's exactly what took place. It was on the night that Jesus was going to be betrayed by Judas. Jesus thought enough of his disciples, and he thought enough of the process, that he called them aside, and he took bread, and he broke that bread, and he gave it to his disciples, and he told them very clearly, the taking of this bread represents my broken body, which will be broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. How important do you think it is that you and I remember the sacrifice of Jesus? I mean, stop and think about it. In the world that we live in today, Jesus is seldom known. He is often misrepresented. And the majority of the population knows very little about the life and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Jesus was going to make sure that his disciples never, ever, ever, ever forgot what he would do for them and for all who would believe. Then later he took the cup, verse 25. He said, this is the New Testament in blood. When you drink this, you drink it. As often as you drink it, you do it in remembrance of me. And he said, for as often as you do this, you do show the Lord's death until it comes. Do you realize that this is a message preached to everyone who sees? That is almost without words. It is an example. That yes, Lord, by your instruction, we gladly, as your church, we gladly partake of the bread and the juice in your memory, so that because of your memory in our lives, we might function and be what we were supposed to do. Remember. Wow. How powerful is memory? Some of it's good, some of it's difficult. They remember Jesus. They're told that every time they do it, that they proclaim his death, and that they were to do that until he comes back again. So then things begin to change in his counsel to the church. These are hard words. Some stuff is not a lot of fun to preach. It's not a lot of fun to teach. Sometimes the truth of the matter is painful. Sometimes it causes deep conviction in us about things that maybe we have done or not done. These words are strong. Verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Specifically, it means that participating in an irreverent or a sinful way results in sinning against the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Any other sinful approach would be unworthy as well. The issue here is the manner in which they did this, the heart in which it was taken. See, the Corinthians, they had some gluttons and they had some hungry people and they had some drunk people. How we do what we do sometimes is every bit as important as what we do. And we sometimes forget that. The Bible says very clearly, do not let your good be spoken evil of. In other words, our freedom in Jesus Christ is not a license to do as we please, because there are boundaries for you and I as Christians. And you say, well, why is this so terribly important? Because the Word of God says that we are to guard against taking the Lord's Supper unworthily, which means basically, if you are a non-believer, this is not for you. Now, there are a lot of churches that won't preach this because it's offensive to some people. But I'm telling you from my heart that the Word of God says basically, if there is no relationship, personal relationship with Jesus Christ, this is not for you. Now, we have an open communion here as a Southern Baptist church. And by that, I simply mean, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are a Christian, whether you are a member here or not, it is our privilege to share with you the Lord's Supper. And you feel absolutely free to enjoy that with us as a point of remembrance. But Paul goes on, and he says these words, and this is strong as well, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. He says very clearly, we are to examine ourselves. That's me, and that's you. That's everyone whose intention is to observe the Lord's Supper the way we observe the Lord's Supper in our Southern Baptist church here. We are, first of all, to examine ourselves to see that we are in the right place spiritually to take the Lord's Supper. I think I was in the church maybe for 20 years or more before I ever heard any pastor preach or teach on this subject about the Lord's Supper. Please hear my heart and not just my words. I didn't write this, but I am oh so responsible to share this with you. Oh, Brother Kenny, if I'm lost and I take this, does that mean I can't be saved? No, that's not what it says. If I'm saved and I'm not ready to take this, am I going to get criticized? Am I going to get abused? It's not what it says. It says take a good close look at your walk. Examine yourself. When you go to a doctor and he examines you, he looks usually in more than one area. Takes a close look. What I believe with all my heart that this means that you and I are to examine our thoughts, our hearts, our minds. What moves us? What motivates us? Why are we doing what we're doing or not doing what we're not doing? Jesus, Paul is saying to the church here, let a person examine himself. For if you drink this thing unworthily and you eat this unworthily, you are forcing judgment upon you. Not the judgment that takes your salvation, because you can't lose that. Not a judgment that prevents you from having salvation, because Jesus said whoever believes can come to him. But it is serious. Examining ourselves means to put oneself to the test. The attitude of the heart, the outward conduct, the true nature and the purpose is the true nature and the purpose of the supper. By self-examination, believers guard against eating and drinking to their own judgment through not recognizing the importance of this supper that commemorates the death of Jesus. It's not God's eternal judgment. It is the judgment, but it's judgment nonetheless. And the Bible even goes on far enough to say, because that happens from time to time, some of the results could possibly be that many people get weak, many people are sickly, and some have died. Do you think it meant anything to Jesus to say to his disciples, do this in remembrance of me? On the last day, on the day of his crucifixion, do you believe that that meant something to him? Absolutely. And Paul, years later, is speaking to the Corinthian church, and he's simply saying to them, I'm giving it to you as it was given to me. This is what Jesus did that night in the presence of his disciples with clear instruction to do this always in remembrance of the sacrifice that he gave, that the bread represented his broken body and the wine in that time represented the shed blood of Jesus. And then Paul's counsel was, be aware, be discerning. Make sure you evaluate your own life and see to it that you are, by self-examination, ready to receive this. So that's why we take the time to talk about this passage of Scripture. That's why I would say to you that the invitation that will be given in just a few minutes, if you are lost and you know that you are lost as yesterday, that if you died today, you would not spend your eternity with Jesus Christ. I beg you from my heart, would you give your life to Jesus Christ today? Would you allow him to become your Lord and Savior? If there's anything in the self-examination that you make before you take the Lord's Supper today that needs to be corrected, we have a forgiving God. He hears you when you call out to Him. He understands you and I when we say, Father, I'm sorry. I repent of my sins today. I'm sorry. If there's anything in my life that's in the way of me being able to be able to participate in the Lord's Supper today, Lord, would you take that from me today? I offer that to you. I confess my sins to you. I repent of the failures in my life. I'm asking you, Lord, to put me in a position that I need to be in so that I can take this with a clear conscience. That the remembrance that I have, Lord, would be special and unto you. So we're going to take a few minutes and give you that chance. I think that's what the Lord meant. We get a chance to examine ourselves, to get our hearts right and our minds right with the Heavenly Father. I don't believe there's any magic in coming to the altar at the same time. I would say to you that if the Holy Spirit is dealing with you and He's telling you that you need to come and kneel here, or if you're unable to kneel, if you need to come and sit and talk to Him, that you would do that. Maybe you need to join this church. Maybe you've been saved, but you've never been baptized. We would love to receive you as a member. We would love to have opportunity to baptize you and get to know you. Maybe there's an issue going on in your life that's just bigger than life to you, and you need to turn that over to the Lord Jesus. You need to ask Him for His forgiveness. You need to do something about your spiritual life today. I pray that you will understand why this message has been preached the way it's been preached. I try to get my head around this and to think that maybe there's going to be a lot of people leave here that are going to be dreading the day that we do the Lord's Supper again. I hope that's not the case. But if we remember appropriately the sacrifice for our salvation, it wasn't intended to be a party spirit. It didn't have a band. There was no dancing around the room when Jesus shared with them that the bread would represent His broken body and the wine would represent His spilled blood. And He told them, I'm doing this for you and for all who would believe. And your responsibility in that process when I'm gone is to do that on a regular basis and to remember me. Church, I think it's appropriate that we have some solemn moments while we're here. I think it's more than appropriate that in the craziness that we call living in this culture, we call a time out every now and then. Oftentimes when we're in church together, we need to just stop. Just stop and remember who He is, what He's done for us. And then as you eat this bread today, and as you drink this juice today, I pray that you do that unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you remember Him the way He would want you to remember Him. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of everything that we would do for Him and because of Him. Let's remember Him today appropriately. Would you stand with me as we pray? Father, we love You and we thank You. It was important to Jesus. It's important to us. Lord, as we remember You, May we be moved to be all that we could be. Not for our glory, but for yours. Maybe there's someone here today, Father, who's lost. And they would just simply say that I am as lost as yesterday. There's never, ever been a time that I asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. Would you move that person to salvation today? And Lord, as we take these very special, precious moments to examine ourselves, Father, may we be prepared spiritually to remember you appropriately. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you come?